We are authentic local radio in northern Minnesota. Time now for the Great Northern Radio Show live from Bemidji State University.
All right. Okay, guys.
All right, here we go.
Bring it through here.
Come on in. Here it is.
Watch those boxes, Bambi. That's my expensive, that's expensive equipment from our radio share here, Bambi. Bring those through here. You with the hooves over there. That's great. Hey, Nikolai, how you doing? Ready for our big show at Bemidji State University?
Yeah, I am, but do you really think having all these white-tailed deer is such a great idea?
Well, are you kidding? Now, these white-tailed deer represent a problem all over Bemidji right now. We've got white-tailed deer getting in the way of vehicles, and we're doing the town a big public service by hiring them off the streets of Bemidji. And Nikolai, do you know what the best part is?
Tell me.
The fact is that they work for pine buds and hosta leaves.
Oh, that's... Wow.
Yes, besides, who else are we going to hire? All the college kids are back at school. They're busy studying, doing work, attending classes.
Drinking beer, sleeping in, sexting.
No, Nick, those are unfair stereotypes. Your modern college student is just too busy for most of those things.
No, of course.
Yeah, it's hard out there, you know, all around this campus, really. The whole world, this whole town, you'll find people trying hard to make it. Everybody here is living just enough.
Just enough?
That's right. Just enough for Bemidji.
Living just enough for Bemidji. Living just enough for Bemidji.
Unbow your eyes on the shores of Bemidji. Surrounded by trees, oh, so tall and pretty now. His parents give him deodorant and clean sheets, 'cause they know they won't be washed for 8 weeks now. Enough, just enough for Bemidji. Dad drives a truck to make his family dollars. You can bet there's a red plaid on his collar now. Mom goes to school to educate the men there. You best believe she's pulling those good state bennies now. Living just enough for the midget. His sister works, she's a nurse up at Sanford. Her scrubs are pink, and Lord, her legs are sturdy now. There's a jingle dress in the back seat of her Taurus, 'cause Saturday she'll dance a power for us. Living just enough for Bemidji. Her brother's smart, he's taking math and theory now. But he's got a job, one he's not too fond of now. You'll find him now inside a fursuit costume, 'cause he's on the field, he's the mascot beaver now. Living just enough for Bemidji.
Live from the Vangsburg Theater at Bemidji State University. This is the Great Northern Radio Show. Good evening, I'm Aaron Brown. We are broadcasting live from the first city on the Mississippi River, Bemidji, Minnesota, home of the headwaters of America's Great River. This is an old logging town, a lumber town, college town, a settler city that rests between the Leech Lake, Red Lake, and White Earth nations of Ojibwe here in north central Minnesota. We have a great show for you tonight. You're going to meet a couple of comedians about to go on a national Ojibwe comedy tour, make a movie about their travels, John Roberts and Rob Fairbanks. Also joining us, you just heard him, Corey Medina and his band. We've got Barrett Diving. Special guests from the community, along with our Great Northern Radio players, our cast tonight is Sarah Breeze, CJ Anderson, Lauren Nickish, Robert Saxton, Mark Christensen, Diamond Nispel, and Rachel Brandt. Here with me on stage, as always, our house keyboard player, it's Nikolai Koivunen. More surprises ahead. First up, here's our headliners. Out of Minneapolis, enjoy the country rock sound of American Scarecrows.
The highways called me like a captain to a ship at sea, but glory don't come for free. A wasteland from teaches its lessons, turn me boy into man. And I'd rather be alone, I'd rather be alone than at their feet. And I'd rather be at home in the North Country, yeah. There's the dots of speckled spots, Polaris guides my way to the place I need to stay, where we got boundary waters, working blue collars for our sons and daughters' day. And I'd rather be alone, I'd rather be alone than at their feet. And I'd rather be home in the North Carolina. Than at their feet. And I'd rather be at home, I'd rather be at home in the North Country. I said the M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I begins in the land where I'm gonna live my life. I said the M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I begins in the land where I know I'm gonna die. I said the M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I begins in the land where I'm gonna live my life. I said the M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I begins in the land where I know I'm gonna die.
American Scarecrows. Their new album is Yesteryear, and they'll be with us all night. You are listening to the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. My name is Aaron Brown. I'm your host on this beautiful Northern Minnesota evening at the Bangsburg Theater on the campus of Bemidji State University. We begin with our requisite geography lesson. Bemidji is the seat of Beltrami County in north central Minnesota, the first city on the mighty Mississippi River, which forms from tributaries all around this region, joining together at Lake Itasca, not too far from here. From there, the river flows through the listening area of our home station, Northern Community Radio, through Grand Rapids, Brainerd, beyond to St. Paul, St. Louis, and New Orleans. The Mississippi River is North America's longest river, the most economically significant river, the only major river in the world to have PP in it. M-I-S-S-I? P-P-I. Okay. I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Bemidji is named for Lake Bemidji, shortened version of its Ojibwe name, which was later ascribed by white settlers to Chief Bemidji, a Ojibwe leader who settled on the shores of the lake through which the Mississippi flows. Chief Bemidji's real name, however, was Shenouishkung, and his story was more complicated than the local legend would indicate. This summer, the city of Bemidji unveiled a new statue that portrays a truer image of the man and shares the complicated history of natives and whites that has shaped Bemidji history. We were there yesterday. It's a really well-done memorial, and it's a beautiful thing. It's good to know your real history. You can't heal yourself or your city if you don't know the original wounds. If you drive through Bemidji today or visit businesses, you'll see bilingual signs in English and Ojibwe. You'll see the flags of the three nearby Ojibwe bands flying alongside that of the others. Now, the work is not done yet, but it is inspiring to see progress. For students here at BSU, classes are well underway. They've figured out which professors are merely eccentric and which are clinically insane. Teachers, too, have sorted their classes into categories of achievement, ranging from the soaring eagles of top performers to the seagulls that just ate way too many French fries. Educators are comforted by the fact that once the seagulls are empty, they may fly again better, perhaps, than before. I hate to admit it, but bringing the show here to the Bangsburg Theater, this is the first time I've been on the campus of Bemidji State. I know, I should have been here sooner. I've been to the town, not to the campus.
You haven't lived.
I haven't lived. But I've constructed a working knowledge through the secondhand information coming from the many, many graduates that this institution puts out who live around the area. And I asked around when I was coming here, and the one thing that seems to unite alumni, students, staff, faculty is a Captain Ahab-like fixation on parking. It's a big campus, penned between the lake and the busy streets. When it was founded as a teacher's college, that was 1919. People took the train, you know, horse and buggy. I don't know what people did. They didn't have all these cars, though. In the rise of the American automobile since, parking here, however, is at a premium. In the winter, students will actually park out on Lake Bemidji on the frozen expanse of the lake just because there's no parking on the land. They'd risk their most expensive possession by putting it on a lake. That is safer to them than finding a parking place. In warmer times, students don't park at all. There's no parking places. People circle the campus in 1997 Buicks, straining to hear their professors through the open windows of classrooms. If they do happen to find a parking place, they skip class to defend it against the anarchist mob. It's kind of like a stationary version of Mad Max, everybody protecting their parking places. In this world, however, the arguments are about door dings and how close they are to the yellow lines. Of course, I'm kidding. Okay, you know, just kidding a little bit. I mean, there's plenty of parking for everyone. As long as you're here by 7 a.m., you'll be good. In the years since Northern Community Radio founded KBXE here in Bemidji, we've all gotten to know this town a little bit better. I did a show back here in 2012. One of the things that makes Bemidji special is its arts scene. You find art everywhere in Bemidji, on the streets and businesses, public places. And even in 2014, you could find it on the road when the highway department accidentally took a turn too hard and sent yellow paint careening out onto the highway, making an abstract expressionism artwork there right on the streets. And, you know, the thing about art is it might not be permanent, but the experience is permanent. So even the guys in yellow vests with scrub brushes can't take that away. Bemidji earned a big national shout-out in the FX TV series Fargo, a TV adaptation of the iconic Coen brothers movie. It was a good show. I watched it. It was fun. There was a few inaccuracies, though. Just a few. For instance, I depicted Bemidji as having a giant, extremely large strip club and no library at all. And that's both of those things aren't quite true. And of course, Paul Bunyan and Babe were all wrong in the show. They weren't the real deal, which leads me to one final matter, of course. A controversy has erupted. It's got the social media hashtag Babe Ghazi. It's a construction project. They're redoing the visitor center parking lot, and this is where the iconic images of Paul and Babe that everyone knows about Bemidji. No trip is complete without a picture of your frightened child standing in front of this gigantic plaid man and an ox whose shade would normally be reserved for the dead, the very cold, or the smurf. This year, however, people had to take their selfies from afar, beyond the gravel and skid steers. Not even the longest, most sophisticated selfie stick could overcome this terrible problem. Fortunately, the long national nightmare is soon over. Paul and Babe, the visitor center, they're all expected to reopen. And the best part is, there will be more parking. Thank you, Bemidji and BSU. This is the Great Northern Radio Show. I'm Aaron Brown. The next guest is a transplant to Bemidji, but he is just lighting this place up with his music. He has a new album out, Old Dog Crying. Here he is with his band, Corey Medina.
Trying to get to know
Corey Medina, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We are broadcasting live from Bemidji, Minnesota, home of Paul Bunyan, Babe the Blue Ox, and the KBXE studios of Northern Community Radio. We're joined now by the mayor of Bemidji, Rita Albright.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Rita. You've been on the road to get here. Oh.
Well, thanks for having me. I'd love to come on KBXE and KAXE.
Absolutely. Well, first I have to ask you one hard-hitting question, which is, when will I be able to stick my hand in Babe's mouth and pretend he's eating my arm off for my Facebook pictures?
That's a good question. You know, mayors can get in trouble for a lot of things. They say that mayors in northern Minnesota only walk on water half the year. And obviously, the Paul Bunyan Park was one time when I wasn't walking on water. Actually, it's going to be done at the end of this month, maybe the second week of October. It's okay. Close to the end of this month.
We're near the end. I see they're working over there. It's,
right.
It's looking good. So, well, very good. Well, tell me, why did you choose to live in Bemidji? Tell me a little bit about your community as you see it.
Well, you know, like a lot of other people that come to Bemidji State University for an education and decide to stay, I'm one of those. I came here to go to Bemidji State University, and I'm a northern Minnesota brat. I actually had to move south to come to Bemidji because I'm a Cooch County brat. But I love the area, and I found that Bemidji suited me well, and I wanted to stay, like a lot of other Bemidji State University college students.
What do you think makes it special? What would people first notice about it who might not know much about it?
They're unexpected. A lot of people come to town and say, wow, this is not the town I expected. It's perhaps bigger than they thought it was, and there are more activities, more things to do, and just more to the town than was expected.
I spoke earlier about the relationship between the surrounding Ojibwe bands, Leech Lake, Red Lake, White Earth, and the city of Bemidji. You've been part of conversations with the community about this for a long time. Tell me a little bit about what's happened here in Bemidji over the last few years that might be encouraging too.
I think we've made great strides in improving race relations, and that is due in a lot to a committee called Shared Vision, which had an idea that we need to do better with how we relate to one another in our community and being more inclusive. And so it got kicked off with a study by the Wilder Foundation that helped us see that everybody really wants to know more about other cultures. So we had a survey in our community, and we started to do things to be more inclusive. And some of those things included the Ojibwe Language Project, which you'll see around town on our signage, and the Chief Bemidji Project, which you talked about. But also Blandon brought a community leadership program here called Leadership in Ethnically Diverse Communities, and there were several hundred people that went through that leadership, and I think that's made a big difference as well.
So what do you see for Bemidji's future? What lies ahead?
I think there is great opportunity here in our community. We are certainly in a place of expansion. Our population is growing about 2.5% to 3% every year. Our airport is very busy and it's expanding. It's an important airport in the state and for the region. We have a new program called the Launch Pad, which is for budding entrepreneurs, and it's a partnership with our Economic Development Authority and Bemidji State University. Our construction here in town has been double what it was last year, so those are all good things. We have some challenges on the future, perhaps, but I think that Bemidji is well positioned for the future.
Finally, one last hard-hitting question. What do you call someone from Bemidji? Is it a Bemidjian? Is it a Bemidjiite? What do you call them?
I say Bemidjiite.
Bemidjiite?
Bemidjian.
Bemidjible?
I guess I've heard it either way. The bigger question for me is, how many R's are in Bemidji?
The correct answer being 3, right?
That is right.
Thank you, Rita Albright, Mayor of Bemidji. You're listening to the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio, broadcasting live from Bemidji State University.
I wonder if this professor is with me. Cool. Can we know anything about him?
Oh, I did. He's around.
I hear this is one of those classes where you actually have to read the book to pass.
I hope so. I read this book 5 times over the summer. Once is never enough, that's what I always say. By the way, what are you doing after class?
Washing my hair, reading a book, fleeing into the woods to deal with woman problems. Let's pretend we never spoke.
Good morning, class. My name is Professor Skullcrunch. My Dutch ancestors pronounced it Skullcrunsa, but my parents adopted an Americanized version of the name so father could get a job at the pencil factory. This is the last personal detail I will share. The rest of this semester will focus on literary analysis of James Fenimore Cooper's third best book, The Deerslayer.
Oh, yeah. Those deer are gonna get it for sure.
Oh, no, not again. I need a volunteer to find a maintenance person. A moose has wandered onto campus. I have no idea how it fit into the lecture hall.
I'm sorry I'm late, Professor. I'm a new student. Check your roster.
Check my roster. Marking Mercer Mondale Moose?
That's me. We don't have proper names. We are mighty creatures of the forest.
How did you enroll in college?
Online. I rigged a disco stage. See, I rigged a disco stage into an iPhone keypad. I'm a first-generation college student, too. Neither of my parents attended school. In fact, both were eaten by wolves. I took this class because it was about stupid deer getting killed by hunters. I love that stuff.
Well, actually, The Deerslayer is more about the struggles of a frontiersman, 17th century New York. His nickname is The Deerslayer.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
You'd know all this stuff if you had actually read the book.
Thank you, Mr.
Brambleton Whiplash Smith Parcheesi. Both of my parents had hyphenated names.
I was wondering when that was going to start happening.
You guys, can we all just agree on a couple of things first? Number one, education is key to a better future. And second, deer are so stupid.
How stupid are they?
I'm glad you asked. Deer are so stupid that their version of exercise is to get caught in a badminton net. I meant that. Deer are so stupid that when a buck promises to call back a doe, she spends all day turning around. Besides, he was never gonna call you back, sister. Deer are so stupid that when they make arrangements for end-of-life planning, they go to the car dealership to try out bumpers. Deer are so stupid that...
That's enough!
What?
That's enough.
We have a deer in class two? Let's see. Dalton, Danson, Daly... There's no deer here.
I'm under Kowalski. I was adopted by my stepdad when I was just a fawn. Anyway, that doesn't matter. I am sick of this abuse. Moose have been saying awful things about deer my whole life. I came to college to become an interior designer, not to be subjected to verbal scorn by a fellow hoofed mammal.
Whitetail. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm just saying that most of your kind are really, really stupid.
Don't Don't you get it? That's the same thing.
Hold on now. I've been through this in class discussions before. It's important to remember that college is a place where diversity is celebrated, where we learn about each other and become more secure in ourselves. We must seek first to understand, then to be understood. They tell me this reduces lawsuits.
We deer are just trying to stay alive through the long winter, same as you, Moose. We have the same predators. We eat some of the same food.
That's the problem, sister. You eat all the food. And you skitter your scat all over the place. It's gross.
Sorry about that.
Well, you should get that checked.
It's a thing.
I think the main thing we need to understand is that most of our problems are just part of nature.
I think when we get down to it, we have more in common than you think. If you walked a mile in my hooves, you'd see my struggles are just as real as yours.
Oh, dear. I feel terrible. I am a product of my upbringing. Father was a speciesist. Mother just stood by and let him rant. I never considered your feelings. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted. Meanwhile, you want to sit over here with me and share my book?
That sounds wonderful, dear.
Actually, I have an opinion about all this.
Shut up!
Good. Now that this is resolved, we can resume the most important thing about literature, elevating archaic texts beyond their actual value.
I'm so glad we're friends now. Dear, maybe you're not so stupid after all.
Me too, Moose. It really is a good example of how two animals can be bonded, irregardless of their differences.
Regardless.
Right, irregardless. That's what I mean, pacifically.
I think you mean No, never mind.
The Great Northern Radio Player. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We're live at Bemidji State University, Bemidji, Minnesota. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Welcome back, American Scarecrows!
Well, I'd rather be living in the sticks than putting up with these downtown magic tricks. If last call's not enough, then I'm sure I've had enough. I've been a sinner, a saint, and a fool. And I'd rather have a woman that can shoot a gun. Be proud to share my name and bear me a son. Only if I'm lucky will I make her parents proud as we join our family trees in the ground. Now I know that I can keep on driving through the night. Them all behind, find a different view to climb. Well, that peak's just not high enough to justify giving up on love. Well, I'd rather walk naked through the snow than stop taking orders of where I'm supposed to go. I'm the captain of my ship, and I'll steer it where I please. Always put my directions to the breeze. And I'd rather have my family than a story to tell, only to myself, throwing pennies down this wishing well. Without them, I'd be nothing more than a loner on the run, killing songs before they have begun. Now I know that I can keep on driving through the night, leave them all behind, find a different view to climb. Where the peak's just not high enough to justify giving up on. We'll be right back. keep on looking forward and worry about the past. The glow of a new year ignites an outlaw on my path, leading to tomorrow. Who knows what it'll bring? It's that mystery that makes me wanna sing. And I'd rather wake up early than sleep away my days. Pour a cup of coffee and call a friend, I'm on my way. Where do you wanna be? Let's grab a beer and one, and we'll talk about how the battle's just begun. Now I know that I could keep on driving through the night, leave them all behind, find a different view to climb. Well, that peak's just not high enough. That peak's just not high enough. So that peak's just not high enough to justify giving up on.
American Scarecrows. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We're broadcasting live in Bemidji. Comedy is hard business. Trust me, we just did a sketch about talking moose. It's even harder to make it in comedy living in a remote place. Like, for instance, a small town in a geographically isolated corner of far northern Minnesota. You know, no comedy clubs or improv classes, just a lot of trees, you know, so that's kind of a hypothetical example, maybe. I don't know. But we are lucky here in northern Minnesota to have the talent we've got here tonight. We're going to talk to a pair of comedians taking their show on a national tour for a film they're making about Ojibwe comedy. Right now, though, it's time for a half of that duo. He built a huge YouTube following for his Res Reports segments that he spun off into a stand-up comedy career. A lot of you here know him. Here he is, Rob Fairbanks.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here. It's just good to be here. I had to hitchhike all the way here. I had to hitchhike all the way from Cass Lake, and I learned a few things, you know, hitchhiking. One, I learned that try not to look too serial killerish. That always helps. Also, if you do get a ride, try not to talk too weird too much. That'll definitely get you kicked out. Also, I learned it helps if you are carrying an empty case of beer. I was lucky enough for a young gentleman picked me up in his big, tall pickup, those big mud runners, you might call it. He was nice enough to let me jump in back of his pickup truck. I know what you're thinking. That's a cruel thing, you know, to make a man jump in the back. But his girlfriend and his dog were back there, too. It made it not so bad. Yeah, you know those truckers, they're some serious guys, you know, they take everything seriously. And when he was dropping me off up front, he asked me for one of my beers. I told him, I don't have one. So he brought me all the way back to where he picked me up. You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking, you know, for the past 10 years, I've been really wanting to become a motivational speaker. Yeah, that's about as far as I got. You know, I was thinking, what if you were the worst motivational speaker? You know, you're going to be in front of a high school, in front of a bunch of kids, and you're going to be like, I know you want to live free. I know you want to live free of responsibilities, and I know you want to go and see places. So why don't you try being hobos? They live free. They go places. They get to see the country. Yeah, that wouldn't be too great. That'd be the same kind of guy that argues at Deli's over his JoJo's of why he has to order and wait. You know, he's like, why do I have to say I want 3/4 of a JoJo? Why can't I say I just want this much? You know, why do we got to get numbers into this? You know, it's just not make it complicated. I just want this much. You know, I know I'm not like the best looking guy, you know, I know I'm so homely growing up, and the only time my mom claimed me was tax time. I'm so homely, when I go to the doctor, he makes me give myself a physical exam. I'm so homely, when my kids used to stick my face in cookie dough to make Halloween cookies. I'm so homely, I make mosquitoes, leeches, and wood ticks turn to vegetarians. I'm so homely, I once told my old lady, let's spice it up. Let's act like we're going on a one-night stand. She said, I'll be at Johnsaw if you need to get a hold of me. It's bad. Yeah, I do these res reports. You might know they call me the res reporter, and here's a little sample. Yeah, today it's about 72 above ho. It's a little gusty outside. Yeah, it's just gusty. I gotta remember to get my beaver oil because my lips get just chapped. I can't even smile right now. It hurts. But yeah, the sun's out. Sky looks pretty ace. I've seen some geese flying south. I think their GPS arrow is off, though, because they're going west. They must be Californian geeses. Just visiting Canada. That's it. Thank you.
Rob Fairbanks. His comedy colleague John Roberts will be out a little later on. Welcome back to our stage, Corey Medina and his band.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just a no, no crying.
Thank you, Lord, for being so near. Thank you, Lord, for taking away my fear. Thank you, Lord, for making me dead to myself. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that hell. Now bullets are flying over my head. Doesn't matter, 'cause I'm already dead.
The Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm Aaron Brown. We're broadcasting live from the Bangsburg Theater at Bemidji State University. We're joined now on stage by a young woman from right here in Bemidji. It's Barrett Dibing. Hello, Barrett.
Hi, everyone.
Now, when I contacted Barrett about being in the show, you were in Norway.
I certainly was.
What were you doing in Norway?
My family and I took a lovely vacation. We spent 8 days in Bergen in Norway and 4 in Iceland.
But you also, you speak Norwegian.
I do.
How does one learn to speak Norwegian?
I grew up at the language villages at Skogfjorden, and I spent 8 years there as a kid, and then I worked there this last summer, so it's
right,
been...
Right here near Bemidji. You
can, right in our backyard.
The Concordia language villages, and you open up your world...
Absolutely.
Right here at Bemidji. That's very cool. Well, Barrett, what are you going to sing for us right now?
Oh, boy. I figured I'd throw some Norwegian in here. So this
awesome.
Song is called Barn of Regnbuen, and some of you might recognize it as Pete Seeger's My Rainbow Race.
Av stjerne blått hav så langt du ser en jord av blomster gror kan du ønske mer som min skar vil heive var så stå og var bror små barn av regnboen og en ful i jord noen tror Andra kastet tider på med bra Noen tror at vi kan leve av Plaståsen tette skrått Og nå stjeller fra det unge Som vi har sendt ut for å slåss Nå stjeller fra det mange Som kommer etter oss En himmel full av stjerne Blått hav så langt du ser blomster gror, kan du ønske meg. Sammen skal vi leve, var søster og var bror, små barn av regnboen og en full i ord. Så si det til alle barna, si det til vår far og mor. En dag har vi en sjanse til å dele et håp på en jord. Himmel full av stjerner, blått hav så langt du ser. En jord av blomster gror, kan du ønske mer. Sammen skal vi leve, var søster og var bror. Små barn av regnboen og en frulig jord. Small part of rainbowen og en frulig ord.
Thank you.
Vera Dybing. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, along with additional support from the Blandin Foundation and the IRRRB Arts and Tourism Grant Program. We're broadcasting live from Bemidji, Minnesota. We've already discussed some of the Paul Bunyan and Blue Ox Babe works around this town, but it bears mentioning that in the year 2015, grown-up people are still arguing about whether the subject of this tall tale is really from where he's really from. Some say Paul's from Maine. Some say Paul is from Wisconsin. Yeah. Some say Brainerd. Okay, well, but of course, we know they're all right. They're not so far away. But we all know, of course, the real answer, which is, of course, he's from right here in Bemidji. Yeah. People like to think, of course, he's not real. You know, no, I'm sorry. People like to think that Paul... Oh, man, I ruined everything. People like to think of Paul Bunyan as a larger-than-life folk hero, but he couldn't have always been that way. That's the subject of our next presentation by the Great Northern Radio Players, Paul Bunyan, The Middle School Years.
My name is Paul Bunyan, and I'm a student at Bemidji Middle School. I'm just like any other kid except for one problem. I'm 12 feet tall. I was hoping this year would be better, but the trouble started as soon as I got to homeroom.
Bobby?
Here, Mrs. Jenkins.
Diamond?
Here.
Is that your real name?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Pa?
Here.
Holy buckets! Your voice is lower than the balance on my checking account.
I know.
Paul, why don't you have a seat?
I don't think that's a very good idea, Mrs. Jenkins.
Well, you can't stand here all morning. It creeps me out. Plus, you're blocking the clock. My smoke breaks at 9, and I don't want to miss it.
Well, if you insist, but I think it's a bad idea.
Get your butt in a seat, Bunyan.
Okay, here it goes.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Pete's my brother.
Cool move, Crusher. That desk never stood a chance.
Yeah, what a freak.
The only good thing about middle school was Lucette.
Paul, are you okay? That looked like it hurt.
I think so. One of the desk legs is missing. I'm a little worried about that.
Don't feel bad. I'm a klutz, too. My first day here, I walked around with a big, long string of toilet paper stuck to the bottom of my shoe.
You think that's bad? My first day, I walked around with a principal stuck to the bottom of my shoe. boy, was he mad. After surgery, of course.
Oh, Paul, I like you. I mean, you're such a good friend. Just don't step on me, okay?
I would never step on you, Lucette. And I meant it. Lucette was the only person at middle school who made me feel normal. I sure didn't feel that way at Woodshop.
Okay, listen up. I'm only gonna tell you this once. The first kid to mess around anywhere near the power saw has to touch the stumps where my fingers used to be. That goes for the sander, too.
That's gross, Mr. Stubb.
You can't do that. Our parents will sue.
You have no parents here. This is Woodshop. There's a reason no one remembers the kid who cut my fingers off. All right, let's get started. Hey, you, the gigantoid kid in the back. Hey, aren't you that Bunyan kid?
Yes, sir.
Get up here and show the class which one of these boards is oak and which one is pine.
When I walked up to look at all that fresh wood on the supply shelves, something came over me.
Hark! Bunyan, knock it off! What are you doing?
I'm sorry, Mr. Stubb. Something came over me.
You just chopped a whole year's supply of wood in half. Where did that axe even come from?
Mom said it was for emergencies. I'm so sorry.
How are we going to build birdhouses now? Footstools, Adirondack chairs. We'll be lucky to make sawdust out of this mess. You can't tell, but I'm pointing my finger at you. Angrily.
Way to go, tall stuff. Now I'm actually going to have to shop for Christmas gifts.
Can't you do anything right, Paul Bunyan?
Things weren't any better at lunch.
Hurry, everyone, fill your trays before Paul gets here.
He eats everything, everything!
They just didn't understand. I burn 1,000 calories just bending over to tie my shoe.
You can go ahead of me, Paul. I don't mind.
Thanks, Lucette. Now, if you don't mind, I'd ask you to turn away. I don't want you to see what's about to happen.
Okay. So, I've been listening to this new music. Have you ever heard of the band American Scarecrows? Oh, they're pretty cool. Anyway, maybe later we can listen together. I got a boombox, and I think it'll fit in your ear. Great. Well, see you sixth period, Paul.
It was like she knew me my whole life. Still, I wondered, what was the point of middle school? At least I had history class with Lucette.
Now, the first time you have to know about the old times is that they were the new times for the people of those times. Everything anew is something old in disguise. So we read about the 1800s, a time ago when the people went over to the place.
Psst. And they went back to the place. Isn't it interesting to think about the old times, Paul?
I guess so. I mean, old times had to have been better than middle school.
Oh, Paul. It's hard for everyone. At least you have a friend. If you've got a friend, what else do you need?
Thanks, Lucette. You're my best friend. I would be lost without you. Still, it would be nice to know my purpose. Why am I here? Why am I so big?
And this brings me to the lumber camps. You know, you gotta know these guys spend all the day chopping down the trees while a lady back at camp cooks endless food, endless, so much food.
Wait a minute, Mr. Antecue. Did you say that people can cut down trees for money?
Sure, Paul. Where do you think all the wood comes from?
That was it. At last, I had realized why I was put here. And for once, my large size and weird obsession with axes would work in my favor. And that wasn't all.
if you become a lumberjack, Paul, I'd cook you flapjacks, as many as you wanted.
Maybe middle school wasn't so bad after all.
The Great Northern Radio Player. Welcome back, American Scarecrows.
She's a wild one who's letting down her hair. Knock back a couple drinks and we're moving back and forth. I fell in love with a woman from Minnesota's north, uh-huh. Damn right. Ooh, that name. Anyone who came too easy just wasn't worth my time. A prize ain't a prize without putting up a fight. I was thankful and honest, blissfully charmed, and with the first kiss she had to melt into my arms, uh-huh, damn right, ooh, that night, my ballerina, that's laying next to me, I like to stay awake and watch her dancing in her sleep, sweet dreams, I'll see you in the morning time. And I'll fall asleep with a smile, cause she's all mine. Woo! She likes to hold my hand and give me kisses on the cheek. Look me in the eyes and make me shaky at the knees. I try to make her laugh and she tries to keep me close. So when we get back home, I'm gonna take off all her clothes, uh-huh. Damn right. Ooh, that night. My ballerina, that's laying next to me. I like to stay awake and watch her dancing in her sleep. Sweet dreams, I'll see you in the morning time. And I'll fall asleep with a smile, cause she's all ballerina, that's laying next to me. I like to stay awake and watch her dancing in her sleep. Sweet dreams, I'll see you in the morning time. My ballerina, I'll see you in the morning time. And I'll fall asleep with a smile, cause she's all mine. I'll fall asleep with a smile, cause she's all mine.